At the count of Minga, which of course meant something along the lines of three, the children raced towards the wall of the Diluc cell and smacked their battering ram against the bricks with the mightiest thunk yet, a noise that was accompanied by an enormous cracking sound as the invention snapped in two. Violet staggered in one direction, and Klaus and Sonny staggered in another, as each separate half made them lose their balance, and a huge cloud of dust sprang from the point where the battering ram had hit the wall. A huge cloud of dust is not a beautiful thing to look at. Very few painters have done portraits of huge clouds of dust, or included them in their landscapes or still lifes. Film directors rarely choose huge clouds of dust to play the lead roles in romantic comedies, and as far as my research has shown, a huge cloud of dust has never placed higher than 25th in a beauty pageant. Nevertheless, as the Baudelaire orphans stumbled around the cell, dropping each half of the battering ram and listening to the sound of the crows flying in circles outside, they stared at the huge cloud of dust as if it were a thing of great beauty, because this particular huge dust cloud was made of pieces of brick and mortar and other building materials that are needed to build a wall, and the Baudelaires knew that they were seeing it because Violet's invention had worked. As the huge cloud of dust settled on the cell floor, making it even dirtier, the children gazed around them with big, dusty grins on their faces, because they saw an additional beautiful sight, a big, gaping hole in the wall of the Diluc cell, perfect for a speedy escape. "We did it!" Violet said, and stepped through the hole in the cell into the courtyard. She looked up at the sky just in time to see the last few crows departing for the downtown district. "We escaped!" Klaus, still holding Sonny on his shoulders, paused to wipe the dust off his glasses before stepping out of the cell and walking past Violet to Foul Fountain. "We're not out of the woods yet," he said, using a phrase which here means there's still plenty of trouble on the horizon. He looked up at the sky and pointed to the distant blur of the departing crows. "The crows are heading downtown for their afternoon roost. The townspeople should arrive any minute now." "But how can we get the quagmires out any minute now?" Violet asked. "Walk!" Sonny cried from Klaus's shoulders. She meant something like, "The fountain looks as solid as can be," and her siblings nodded in disappointed agreement. Foul Fountain looked as impenetrable, a word which here means impossible to break into and rescue kidnapped triplets, as it did ugly. The metal crow sat and spat water all over itself, as if the idea of the Baudelaires rescuing the quagmires made it sick to its stomach. "Duncan and Isadora must be trapped inside the fountain," Klaus said. "Perhaps there's a mechanism someplace that opens up a secret entrance." "But we cleaned every inch of this fountain for our afternoon chores," Violet said. "We would have noticed a secret mechanism while we were scrubbing all those carved feathers."
"Chidoo,"
Sonny said, which meant something like, "Surely Isadora has given us a hint about how to rescue her." Klaus put down his baby sister and took the four scraps of paper out of his pocket. "It's time to rethink again," he said, spreading out the couplets on the ground. "We need to examine these poems as closely as we can. There must be another clue about getting into the fountain. For sapphires we are held in here. Only you can end our fear. Until dawn comes, we cannot speak. No words can come from this sad beak. The first thing you read contains the clue, an initial way to speak to you. Inside these letters the eye will see, nearby are your friends, and V, F, D.